And we're back once again. We're back here talking about another facet of Holland Hospital. And with us we have Mark Bomber, behavioral health therapist, and Matt Forrest, marketing coordinator. Good morning, gentlemen.
Hey, good morning, Duke.
Good morning.
We're going to talk about attitude. They tell me when you get on a job, you have to have the right attitude. So
that's what they say, right?
Does attitude matter?
Bring it with you. Yeah. Yeah. Well, it certainly works in your line of work. I think you're a good example of that. Yeah, we think so. In fact, you know, people have believed this for quite a while, but now the research is coming out here left and right about the important value that positive attitude has, not just on our, you know, mental health and mental well-being, but on our physical health.
Yeah.
And that's the exciting part, that what you think and what you believe and your attitude can actually physically improve your health and your ability to mm-hmm. recover from disease. And I mean, it makes sense when you think about it. I mean, the mind is connected to the body.
Yeah.
We know it's a chemical organ, so a lot of things are moving around in there. But the fact that that you can actually influence outcomes of in a health mm-hmm. sense, it's like feels like magic.
Yeah, there's a field out there now that's becoming very well known. It's called psychoneuroimmunology.
Oh,
say
boy,
that about five times.
I don't think so.
Psychoneuroimmunology. But anyway, it's studying this kind of relationship between our behavior, our thoughts, and how we approach life, and this whole area of optimism and how it can positively affect our behavior
yeah.
and our health, our overall health. And so we know that studies, there was a study that studied 160 studies. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
But
yeah.
But there was a study that was recently done that bore that out, that optimists versus pessimists have a more healthy immune system and can recover from sicknesses, from heart attacks, from all kind of physical illnesses much better than people who are pessimists.
Yeah.
So there really is something to this, in not just in a psychological or an emotional sense, but also in a biological sense.
You think it has something to do with developing a disease that you ordinarily wouldn't have if you were a happy person?
That's actually a good thought, yes.
Actually, they've shown that positive attitude actually stimulates the release of chemicals
uh-huh.
in your body that actually do prevent illness. So, for example, here's an example. Harvard Public Health did a study back in 1963. They started this study. And what they did was they tracked veterans, and they categorized the veterans into two groups based on a study. This was back in 63, and they said these people are more pessimistic, and these people tend to be more optimistic. They tracked these people for like 30, 40 years. And what they found out was the people that were pessimistic were twice as likely to have a heart attack as those that were optimistic.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, you mm-hmm. do a study like this, and normally researchers will say, well, you know, it was a 0.5 difference, and that's significant. But this is like twice as likely. And then they went back and they said, geez, what are the chances of a second heart attack? And actually, your mental health predicted your mm-hmm. likelihood of a second heart attack more accurately than your physical health. So, you know, when people have a heart attack now, they have them talk to psychologists because they want to know, what's their attitude? Are they mm-hmm. how do they look at their future? Are they positive about it? Do they feel they'll bounce back? Are they going to be resilient? It's just phenomenal what we can do with our minds for our health.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, people say it's all in your head.
Well, I guess it is to a large part, yeah.
But, Duke, more recently, over the last few years, you've heard more about this term wellness.
Yes.
And holistic health. And now there's a much bigger correlation between a treatment of physical health and treatment of behavioral health. And that's something that we've been keyed into at Holland Hospital for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why we have not just an acute care hospital that treats all kind of illnesses and gives, you know, all kind of procedures for improving physical health, but we also have a behavioral health department that works closely with physicians in managing these kinds of things, because we realize and we can see from our work with patients that the behavioral side of it is as important as the physical side.
Yeah.
So that's why we're so passionate about this.
Yeah, yeah.
So we can see how much of a difference it makes in a person's overall health if they have a positive attitude, and especially if they're decreasing their amount of worry and stress in their life, because that's a robber of years off your life.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, they did this. Mm-hmm. This is another interesting study. Cornell University just did this study, and what they did was they talked to over 1,000 senior Americans, and they asked them one question. Here's the question. If you had it to do over again, what would you do differently? And they expected people would say things like, well, you know, I'd manage my finances better. You know, I'd take better care of my teeth. You know, things that people tend to sort of think about that have lived through the Depression or have had problems. The number one regret, this really stuck with me, I would have worried less.
Uh-huh.
And you know, you think about that, and as Mark says, it not only does it rob your time, but it probably didn't make any difference in the long run. And yet people say, you know, I would have taken a different attitude. And so I think, you know, when you get a perspective on your life that says, you know, I'm going to plan, but I'm not going to worry, you're probably in a healthy place.
Well, most of the things you worry about never happen.
Yeah, isn't that true?
That's true.
Yeah. But you know what's funny? That's a lesson it almost takes a lifetime to learn.
It does.
And I think the neat thing about this study was, hey, let's listen to people that have gone through it, that have that perspective. You can learn a lot from older people, and I think something we often forget when we're young or never learn.
Right, right. Let me take time out here for a word. We'll be right back with our guests, and if you have a question, you may call us here at 395-1450 if you have a question.
New today only. We appreciate our customers and are saying thank you today with half-off oil changes all day only at Valvolinus and Oil Change on Washington Avenue in Holland.
All right, we're talking about attitude today with Mark Bombera and Matt Fors, and if you have a question, you may call us at 395-1450. Do you have the right attitude today, or...
Yeah. Hey, it's sunny out, and it's in Michigan,
it
so right. We should be happy today.
No. In Michigan, it's a happy day.
Right. That's right.
All right. Are some people born more optimistic than others? I think some people are always thinking about the glass is half full or half empty, you know.
Yeah,
that tends to be, I think, the case. A lot of people are just naturally that way. They see the world that way. That's kind of the glasses that they wear.
Yeah.
And other people see it more optimistically. It's half full. There is, you know, I think when we talk about are people born that way or not, you know, it goes back to the age-old debate, nurture versus nature, you know.
Yeah.
Do we turn out the way we are because it's just something that's born in our biological genetic code, that this is just the way we are, or does our environment have a lot to do with it?
Mm-hmm.
And the more we research this over the years, the more that we can't say it's one or the other. It's a combination of both.
Yeah,
but you can train yourself to
absolutely.
Be more optimistic, and that's the exciting part that Mark alludes
yes.
to. One of the things that is a guy named Martin Seligman out at the University of Pennsylvania, and what this guy did was he wrote a book called Learned Optimism. And his whole deal was kind of revolved around this idea of explanatory styles. It's kind of complex, but basically it's this. When something good happens, how do you explain that to yourself? Do you take credit for it? Do you assume that means good things are going to happen in the future? Or do you see it as a one-off and not something you accomplished?
Mm-hmm.
And then conversely, when something bad happens, do you blame yourself? Do you figure it's like the start of a bad trend, another 39 days of rain, you know? how do you look at when life's events? And that idea of resilience, of being able to see things not in black and white but as shades of gray, is really important to being able to bounce back when bad things happen.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. There's little things in life can happen that can really, you know, hold you down.
Absolutely.
When you come home, you know, from work and your wife says, there's something wrong with the washer.
Yeah. Tell me something new. Right?
But I think our upbringing, our family of origin has a lot to do with how we handle things, how resilient we are, how optimistic we are or pessimistic. You know, how do we see our parents and our family handling situations? Are they real nervous and anxiety laden, or do they kind of take things as they come and demonstrate, you know, that shows a lot to kids. And I would say to any parents out there, or even grandparents, that you know, modeling a more optimistic, you know, maybe we don't like what's going on, but we're going to accept it and we're going to move on and
right.
we're going to make the best out of this situation, you know, is something that's an invaluable heritage that you can give to your kids and your grandkids.
Yeah. I always have this little poem, three simple things, no more or less, combined to make man's happiness: someone to love, something to do, and something always to look forward to.
That's right.
Wow.
That's
good.
Yeah.
And you committed that to memory.
I did.
That's powerful stuff. You know, those are kind of things that you hold with you that make a difference. And it's funny, because when you hear about the travails of other people, sometimes you ask yourself, how would I handle that situation?
Yeah.
Turns out that it's not so much what happens, it's how you deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there are a number of really interesting quotes. Mark's got one that he's particularly proud of, and I think it's a good thing to pass along. What is that, Mark?
Yeah, well, I don't know if anybody out there is aware of, know who Charles Swindoll is. But he made this statement quite a long time ago. It's a very long statement, but I'm going to just give you the last couple sentences
okay.
of it. He said, "The only thing that we can do is play the one string that we have, and that is our attitude. I'm convinced that life is 10% what happens to me and 90% of how I react to it. And so it is with you. We are in charge of our attitudes." And so really that kind of sums up what we're talking about.
Yeah, yeah.
We are in charge of how we can't change the inevitable, change what is. And so we have to accept things are the way they are. But what we can do, and we are in charge of, is how we respond to things that are in our life,
mm-hmm.
things that happen to us, things that are going on around us, you know, changes that are going on at work that we don't like, things we don't understand, and we probably will never understand. And so getting back to what you were saying earlier about worrying, if we worry about it, it never comes to pass.
Right.
You know, most of these things we worry about never come to pass. So let's, you know, do the thing that we can and take care of the way we
respond
to it.
There are enough to come to pass that we haven't even worried about.
That's right.
Yeah.
And, you know, there are people that I see that we call this anticipatory anxiety, that
yeah.
they have anxiety about getting anxious.
Yes.
Yeah.
So it just never ends. It's just this vicious cycle. So
it's too bad you can't go to the emergency room and say, "I need a change of attitude."
Yeah, I need a checkup from the neck up, right?
Well, maybe we should have a clown in the emergency
I'll
department.
Tell you, you know, it's interesting with kids, for example. We have like Dr. Seuss drawings and stuff
yes.
and games and puzzles and stuff and things to make kids relax when they're in the emergency room. And the emergency experts have told me that it serves a purpose. Not only does it distract
yeah.
them, but it also opens them up so they can tell about what's bothering them, and you can learn in an
mm-hmm.
emergency setting.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I mean, it's exciting, and I think that's where Mark's role as a behavioral health therapist comes in, because when people find, you know, they're in their darkest hour, then it's even more difficult to say attitude matters. It's easy when things are going well to say, "Wow, positivity is important," but, boy, when you're battle-tested in a health crisis, sometimes you need, you know, some mental help as well. And that's the great thing about Holland Hospital, having an inpatient mental health unit as well as an outpatient right there in the medical facility
mm-hmm.
really helps, because we recognize it's not just one or the other. It's both together.
Mm-hmm. And I found the chaplain helps, too.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's a total
you know,
big part
you,
of it.
You're bringing up another good point I was thinking of. Before I talked about this holistic health, which, you know, we like to think of as body, mind, and spirit. And so the three are working in harmony with each other. And you think about a wheel. A wheel does not function very well if it's out of round, does it?
Right.
Okay, it's bumpy, it won't go as fast, it won't be as efficient. And so we like to think about the three parts of holistic health, the mind, body, and the spirit working together in harmony. And that's why you have to address and you have to pay attention about these things in our treatment, both in the physical health care and the mental health care, but also as a person, you have to be aware of, are you out of balance,
yeah.
you know, emotionally, physically, or spiritually? And getting back to you, the quote that you just said a minute ago, those three things, but one of them was having a purpose to get up for every day, having
right.
something to look forward to. So that talks about something bigger than ourselves, more of a spiritual sense of what's our connection to other people in this world. You know, what is our purpose, and having a purpose is very crucial for people in how they see life and how they live out life.
Right, indeed. We're going to take a moment out for a word.
So, when the need arises, please consider one of four Dykstra locations in Holland and Saugatuck. We would be honored to serve your family.
Here's a look at our weather brought to you by the Kia of Holland. That's hollandkia.com. And for today, mostly cloudy with a high of mostly sunny, I should say. We're getting off on the wrong track here. Mostly sunny with a high of 72, and then tonight clear with a low of 46, and tomorrow abundant sunshine with a high of 77. Right now we're at 57 degrees here in the Tulip City. We're talking about attitude. And, Mark, it's up to you.
That's right.
Well, one of the things we wanted to bring out, what are characteristics of optimistic people? And the only thing I want to say about that is I think optimistic people or people who have a more positive attitude tend to make the best out of any situation, make the best out of a bad situation. And I like to think of it as this can see the silver lining in things. I think that's very important.
Yeah, it is. You know, the problem, though, is our society is tending to be just the opposite. You know, if you look at the news, they dwell on the negative. You know, talk shows are arguments between people. Sometimes it's hard to even sort out the facts. And yet, what we know is that there's always somebody that's willing to pull tomorrow's rain clouds over today's sunshine. And, you know, if you tell people, Jesus, it's a beautiful day out. Isn't this a great fall day? Nine times out of ten, they'll say, yeah, you hear it's going to rain this weekend. You know, there you go.
Yeah.
We know just the opposite is true, that we can put a positive spin on life. One of the things that they've shown is that there are pleasure centers in the brain that are stimulated by doing good things. So if you're altruistic, or if you pay it forward, it actually makes you feel better physically and actually can improve your health. So doing good things pays benefits.
One of the things we encourage patients to do, especially people who are depressed, is to get up, get moving, and go do something for somebody. Volunteer.
Yeah.
Do something that's positive for somebody else. That really does get you off of thinking about your own situation when you can help somebody else. It really is a powerful thing.
Yeah. You know, we're talking a lot about positivity, but one thing we do need to mention is clinical depression.
Mm-hmm.
The reason that we think that's important is that it's not just feeling blue. It's really a medical problem. It's a real serious medical disorder, and clinical depression is typified by people that are consistently depressed. They lose interest in things. They have changes in their diet and friendships. They isolate and may even have suicidal thoughts. Right, Mark?
Yes. And it's not just being blue. You know, it's a persistent thing.
Right.
And a lot of people who struggle with this kind of feel misunderstood because people around them don't think that you should feel that way.
Right.
And then there are a lot of chemical things going on when somebody is depressed and feeling down. And there could be a lot of reasons for that.
But people that are around them may not even know it.
They may not know it. And I think a lot of people that we wouldn't even, that we know and are close to might be struggling, and we have no idea because they don't talk about it. And they're afraid, and they're somewhat feel stigmatized.
Yeah.
So we at the hospital in October 10 is National Depression Screening Day, and we like to encourage people that that might have a loved one or a friend or themselves who might be feeling like they're struggling with depression, and they can come in to our office at 854 South Washington and get a screening any day, any time. But we're participating with the National Depression Screening Day in October 10. But at our outpatient office at 854 South Washington, you can come in at any time and get a depression screening and talk to somebody about the results.
Okay, that sounds good.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be a good place to start.
To start, yes. And just talking about it, you know.
Yeah.
Talking about it with your loved ones, with a friend, with a pastor or clergy member, But that's the big thing.
Yeah, some people are afraid.
We're talking about optimism and having a good attitude. And, you know, we know there's a lot of people out there that are just struggling.
Yeah.
So I want to speak to those people, and we don't want to make you feel bad by trying to be so positive today, because when you're struggling, it's not that easy to just do what we're talking about today.
Yeah, the irony is that when you're depressed, you're less likely to seek help. So it's a kind of a vicious circle.
Right. But there is help available. And one of the things that we wanted to kind of end on is, what are positive steps to well-being?
Okay.
Be kind to yourself, exercise regularly, take up a hobby and learn a new skill, have some fun or be creative. Help others, which Matt already talked about. Find ways to relax and rejuvenate and recuperate from the stresses of the day. Eat healthy. Balance your sleep. Get enough sleep. We know that sleep is fundamental. And if you're not getting, 7-8 hours of good quality sleep every night, you're going to suffer physically and emotionally. Stay in connection with others. Be aware of drinking too much or taking drugs or anything to try to self-medicate a bad mood. See the bigger picture in life, in our situation. Step back and see a bigger view of things. And just lastly, accept things the way they are. You know, we can't fight or change things that are the way they are. So we have to learn to accept things the way they are. And if we can do a lot of these things in our daily life, it will be a protective factor from having stress, anxiety, depression.
But if someone comes to see you, Paul, do they, or Mark, do they talk to you? Is that primarily how you start?
Yes, we get acquainted of, what a person is there for and what's on their mind, what they're struggling with, and we individually put together a treatment plan, based on what their needs are, and then we work with them however long it takes to get to a place where they're feeling better and they're feeling ready that they can handle things without any therapy.
Yeah. Does sometimes chemical medication help?
Yes, often that's the case. And various studies have been replicated showing the benefit of, when needed, the benefit of putting medication together with therapy or counseling. And a lot of times people just go and get a pill and they never follow up with the counseling and the behavioral therapy that should go along with it. So the best bang for your buck, if needed and you need to take medication, is you should always be in some kind of a counseling or therapy a situation, because putting the two together is going to maximize your the benefit of getting help.
Mm-hmm.
So I would encourage people that if they're taking medication from their family doctor and they really don't feel like they're getting that much better, that they should really seek out somebody in a counseling situation, because that's probably what they're missing.
Or come in October 10th.
Yes, or come in October 10th.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, gentlemen, we're about out of time. I want to thank you very much for being our guests here this morning on our Talk the Town program.
Thank you.
And I hope someone has gotten a lot of good out of it.
Yeah, hope so.
Thank you.
Yep, thanks.
Thanks.